In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We begin on here at volume 6, 917, 1905. The soul who in any circumstance she encounters, especially in seeing me gravely offended. Okay, this is when we hear people swearing and cursing and blaspheming God, or people living, you know, outside of the church, or, you know, we see, seeing me gravely offended, despised and trampled upon, tries to repair me, tries to compassionate me, and tries to pray for the very souls who offend me. It is as if I, Jesus, encountered in that soul that they're looking at my own mother, who, as she could have done it, would have freed me from my enemies as she participated in the fourth sorrow. So Jesus is saying these sorrows that Our Lady went through is also given to us who are focusing on this. So the soul, so the one who crucifies her senses, this is your, he said, the senses were made for God, for love of my crucifixion, and tries to copy the virtues of my crucifixion within herself, participates in the fifth sorrow. And the one who is in a continuous attitude of adoring, kissing my wounds, and repairing and thanking me, Jesus, in the name of all mankind, as if she were holding me in her arms, just as my mother held me, when I was deposed from the cross, and she participates in the sixth sorrow. So these seven sorrows of Mary, again, the whole reason why Jesus and Mary came to earth is to redeem mankind. And Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, with Jesus. She was at the crucifixion with Jesus. Her heart was split in two with Jesus. Jesus says, those souls that are with me are also participating in the life of my mother, the seven sorrows of Mary. Volume 7, 223, 1906. The crucifixion was the will of the Father. Therefore, I, Jesus, was nailed and transmuted completely in his most holy divine will. This was necessary, because what is sin but the withdrawing from the divine will of God, withdrawing from everything that is good, withdrawing from everything that is holy that God has given us, believing to be something of one's own and offending the Creator. And I, Jesus, in order to repair for this audacity for which the self-idol that the creature makes of herself, wanted to dissolve my divine will completely and live from the divine will of the Father at the cost of this great sacrifice. So here Jesus is saying, because of his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, what has happened at that point is it's a new beginning for mankind. And he says, like St. Paul says, to help Jesus in this. Look at your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. Look at your family. Jesus says, even though I have redeemed mankind, and my mother co-redeemed with me, that she had her heart split in two with Jesus, even though that had happened, people are still sinning. Even though I have redeemed man, even though I have arisen from the dead, people are still sinning. He says, would you help me? Help them. And that's what we're doing. It's not worrying, not being fearful, not being complaining, not being negative, not being anxious, not saying, you're doing this. No, it's Jesus. You've repaired. I want to repair with you. My mother has repaired. I want to repair with her. I want to be like the new Adam and like the new Eve. 5-7, 4-26, 1906. How can grave things happen with the destructions and the dying of people? Where is the heart that loves for all? I've heard people say that. How can God allow this to happen? At the most, a few tremors might be felt without considering damage. And hearing a heart that loves for all, I felt as though I were being picked on. And I myself cannot tell you how I came out saying, what are you saying, a heart that loves for all? Not only that loves for all, this is Jesus. that repairs for all, Jesus that suffers for all, Jesus that thanks for all, Jesus that prays for all, Jesus that adores for all, Jesus that respects the holy law for all mankind. And he says, because I do not believe it is true love toward the beloved if one does not render himself all love and all the satisfactions that the others were supposed to render to him in such a way that in the person, Jesus must find all the good and the contentment that he wants to find in all of mankind. So Jesus is saying to Louisa, Louisa, would you do this for me? Would you also be like me, image and likeness, to repair for everyone? And that's what we do in front of the Blessed Sacrament. The church already teaches us that when we are in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we represent all mankind. So what are we doing reading a book? What are we doing falling asleep? We represent all mankind. And Jesus says to Louisa, would you be willing to repair and redo? And so God will remind us of things, not only in our own life, but the life of our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, the history of the church, the history of the world, and says, would you want to repair for them as well? When you go to confession, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. And in the back of your mind, you used to say, and for all the sins of mankind, I want to kneel before you, Father. And I want to beg that God have mercy on us all, not only for my sins, but the sins of the whole world. Again, this is what Jesus is asking. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. Volume 7, 8, 25, 1906. My daughter, interest, human science, and everything that does not pertain to the priest forms a second nature for the priest, which is muddy and rotten. The works that come from the priest, even if they're holy, are so stinking that I, Jesus, feel such nausea because of their interest, their human interest, because of their human sciences, because of everything that does not pertain to the priesthood. I feel such nausea that they, unbearable to me, pray and repair, Jesus says to Louisa, for the priests, for these offenses, for I, God, cannot take it anymore. Jesus said to Louisa, I'm going to repair the priesthood. I'm going to renew the priesthood. I'm going to make it the what I originally intended for the priesthood. The rectories are empty. The hospitals are full. The psychiatric units are full. The prisons are full. The rectories are empty. Jesus says, I'm going to repair the priesthood. The priest is in charge of the city. He is the father of the city. He brings healing to the city. Is that happening in your diocese? I'm not blaming bishops. I'm not blaming priests. Is it happening? No, it's not. Every now and then, there's a little spark of life. But Jesus says, I'm going to renew the priesthood. And he says, I'm going to make the priesthood what I originally planned it to be. Wait till you see what's going to happen to the Holy Church. Everyone will be Catholic. Everyone will be baptized. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd, as Jesus promised. What's coming is so glorious. Again, but we have to see where we are. And we have to begin to pray, repair, pray for these offenses. I can take it no more. Who's the one that's suffering? It's Jesus. And all the little children around Jesus. Volume 7, 11, 28, 1906. Since I, Jesus, was man and God, in my breathing, I contain the breath of all mankind. The movements, the actions, the thoughts. I, God, contained everything within myself. Therefore, I, God, sanctified them. I, God, divinized them. I, God, repaired them. That's the divine will. It's Jesus in us that's doing it. So by doing everything in the act of receiving off of your working from me, you too shall come to embrace and contain all souls within you, and your working shall diffuse for the good of all mankind. That's the image and likeness of God. Therefore, even if others shall give me nothing, I, God, shall take everything from you, Louisa, and the souls linked to you, Louisa, who are learning from me and my mother, who taught you, Louisa. That's what the Book of Heaven is. Volume 7, 113, 1907. My daughter, how much I, God, love souls. In a special way, I, God, wanted to be stripped. I wanted to be scourged. I let my flesh fall off in shreds under the scourges, almost undoing my holy humanity. In order to redo the humanity of creatures and to make the humanity of creatures rise again, full of divine life, of divine honor, of divine glory, to eternal life. That's what Our Lady says to Bruno. She says, my children are going to enter into eternity. That's why time is coming to an end. She says, the devil and his children will be always trapped in time and space. My children will be in the beatific vision, and the children of Lucifer will never enter into the beatific vision because they don't want it. He says, what more could I, God, have done that I have not done? What more could I do? He's done everything. He's done everything. Volume 8, 1121, 1907. Continuing in my usual state, I, Louisa, was uniting myself with Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, making his thought, his heartbeat, his breath, and all of his movements one with mine. That's what we're learning. And then adding the intention of going to all of mankind to give all of this to all of mankind. And since I was united to Jesus in the Garden of Olives, I also gave to everyone, to each one, and also the purging souls in purgatory, the drops of his precious blood, his prayers, his pains, and all the good that Jesus did, so that all mankind's breaths, all mankind's movements, all mankind's heartbeats of all mankind might be repaired, purified, divinized. That's what the priest says at Holy Mass. It's happening. And I gave the font of all goods that are in his pains, are his pains and remedies for all. And while I was doing this, blessed Jesus told me in my interior, my daughter Louisa, with these intentions, your intentions of yours, you wound me continuously. That's what God is looking. What's your intention? Do you make your intention with your Praevini act in the morning? And then your actual, is that your intention for your actual acts throughout the day? These wound me continuously, since you do them often. One arrow does not wait for another. An arrow of love for every heartbeat, every breath, every thought, every word. And I am, he uses God's name, always wounded again. He's being wounded. Every one of his wounds are being kissed, soothed. Do you think that I do not take into account all of your interior works and of your pains? You think Jesus is forgetting what you're going through? All the suffering that you've gone through? All the physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings that you've gone through? How can I, God, forget them if they come from my very self and are one thing with me? Jesus went through all our sufferings. He died for each and every one of us. I also add that every time my passion is remembered, since it is a treasure exposed for the good of all mankind, it is as if one soul put it on the counter to multiply it, to distribute it for the good of all mankind. When I say Holy Mass, I say that each Mass that I pray is for each soul that was ever conceived. Multiply this Mass infinitely, because that's what the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is. What is your intention? What are your intentions? That's what God looks at. Volume 8, 2, 9, 1908. Third, with these acts that we have done together, see, it's always one with Jesus. Breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. Move away from me for one instant to go into the midst of creatures, giving to all of mankind and to each man of soul everything that we have done together. Jesus and us, one together, fused together, never to be separated. And that is giving my divine life to each and every soul, not only your family, not only your friends, not only your neighbors, not only your coworkers, not only your parishioners, but every human being that was ever conceived. And then quickly returning to me to give to me, God, in the name of everyone, past, present, and future, all the glory that they should have given to God. Praying, excusing them, repairing, loving. Ah, yes, Love me for everyone, past, present, and future. Satiate me with my divine love in you. Volume 8, 322, 1908. In the meantime, a venerable lady came out, and those who had received food from the young man drew around her and asked her what my state was. So here, this is a vision that Louisa had. And the lady answered, this is for us to understand. The state of Louisa's soul is a state of continuous prayer. That was her vision. And Jesus said, you obey the confessor. The confessor said to her, you put down on paper everything that Jesus told you. Louisa didn't want to do this, but it's for us to understand who this newborn is. The state of Louisa's soul is a continuous prayer of sacrifice and of union with God. That's what God wants for us, to be like Louisa. She has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. The state of our soul should be a state of continuous prayer, a state of sacrifice and union with God. That's what God's expecting. That's the divine will. While being in the state, she is exposed to all the events of the church and of the world and of the justice of God, praying, repairing, disarming, and preventing as much as she can the chastisements that divine justice wants to unload upon mankind. That's our life, one with Louisa. That's what Jesus is asking. That's why he's given us the Book of Heaven, to teach us how this is going to happen. Volume 9. 4-1-1909, since I was feeling very much in suffering to the point of being unable to move, I was offering my little sufferings together with Jesus. Listen to what she said. the suffering was so great, I was unable to move. She was paralyzed with pain. Then what does she say? I was offering my little sufferings. She knows who suffered. She knows who suffered. Do we know who suffered? Together with those of Jesus and with the intensity of love with which he intended to glorify the Father, to repair for our sins and to obtain all those goods that he impetrated with his sufferings. And I said to him, I shall take it as if these sufferings were a martyrdom of mine. And if the pains were the executioner's, and if this were the bed were the cross, by my immobility, the ropes that keep me bound so as to render myself more dear and loving to my highest good. This is what Jesus is looking for. This is what Jesus is expecting of us. Volume 9, 10-4-1909. When I was find myself in the hours of the Passion, I feel that together with Jesus, I too embrace the divine immensity of his work. This book, The Hours of the Passion, I feel together with Jesus, I too embrace the immensity of his work. And for everyone and for each one, I glorify God, I repair for God, I impetrate for all, and therefore I find it difficult to say everything. The Hours of the Passion, important for us to understand the divine will. So while I was doing this, a thought told me, you are thinking about the sins of others. What about your own sins? And think about yourself, repair for yourself. So I just tried to think about my evils, my great miseries, the privations of Jesus caused by my sins. And getting distracted from the usual things of my interior, I cried over my great misfortune. So here, this thought of her sins. At that moment, my always lovable Jesus moved in my interior and with a sensible voice told me, do you want to arbitrate yourself? The work of your interior is not yours. Do you see what Jesus is saying? But mine. You do nothing but follow me. I do all by myself. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's sharing with us his sufferings. He's sharing with us what he is expecting of us. The thought of yourself, you must stop. See, Jesus, pity me. You must do nothing but what I, God, want. I shall take care of your evils and your goods. Who could do more good to you, yourself or I? So here Jesus is saying, I don't want you to think about yourself, this murmuring that's in your brain. He says, stop it. It bothers me. I'll take care of you. This whole thing that we've been doing so far, you know, this past week with Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Do we really believe that? Who could do more good to you? You, yourself, or I? If you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, you're not trusting in Jesus. In no way are you trusting in Jesus. He's telling you, stop it. Stop your murmuring. Stop your complaining. Focus on me. Come before me. Spend time in front of my Eucharistic heart in the monstrance. Volume 10, 12 to 19:10. I saw myself like a spark, and the spark was going around my dear Jesus, and it would stop now on his head, now in his eyes, and it would now enter into his mouth, and now descended inside of him, deep into his innermost heart, and then it would come out and go around, and Jesus would even place it under his feet, and instead of being extinguished at the warmth of his divine souls, it would ignite more, and it would come out with greater speed from underneath his feet. See, this is a supernatural understanding. She's trying to explain it to us. I'm like a spark compared to the burning heart, the loving heart of Jesus. And he says, underneath the feet would turn around Jesus again and again and again. This round is what God is asking us to do. This is what the rounds are about. And now I prayed with Jesus, and now I love Jesus, and now we repair Jesus. In some, it did whatever Jesus was doing. And with Jesus, this spark became immense. We participate in the heart of God, the flame of God, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Immense, embraced everything in prayer, and no one escaped it. Do you see how this spark, our nothingness, is being entered into this divine fire, this divine love, this divine life of God? No, he says, it embraced everything in prayer. No one escaped it. It was present in all the love of all of God and all of mankind. And for all of mankind, it loved. Of all of mankind, it repaired. Of all, made up for everyone and for everything. And oh, how admirable and unutterable is that which is done by Jesus Christ in us, in, with, through, and for us. It's a new beginning. It's an abundant life that God has planned. Volume 10, 11 to 19:11. Jesus took a heart of light and placed it in my interior. That's what God's going to do with us. Our hearts are cold and stony and lifeless. Jesus, that's what scripture says. Jesus says, I'm going to change this cold and stony and lifeless heart and make it like my own. He took a heart of light and placed it in my interior, adding, you shall love, you shall speak, you shall think, you shall repair, you shall do everything by means of this heart of mine. It's the heart of Jesus, it's the heart of Mary. Louisa possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's what God wants to give to us. She has, if you want to say, the DNA of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And Jesus says, this is where I want to begin, with your heart, your mind, your soul. I want to give you this abundant life. Volume 10, 2 to 19:12. My daughter, the first thing I, God, want is union of wills. So that's the very first thing. He's given us our intellect, memory, and will. Our intellect, we've got to begin to see things through a divine perspective. Our memory has to be of Jesus and Mary. That's why we pray the rosary every day, to enter into this, how did Jesus live? How did Mary live? Have you been to the house of Nazareth? Have you been to the house of Nazareth? You can go to the house of Nazareth. You can go by plane if you want. But in your mind's eye, Jesus can take you into his home. Don't limit God. Oh, that's not going to happen to me. It can't happen to you. You already said no to God. Our Lady said, let it be done to me as you wish, as you want. That fiat mihi has to be there within us. That's the life of Mary. Of the life of Jesus, not my will, your will be done, Heavenly Father. That life has to be in us. That's what Jesus is saying. My daughter, the first thing I want is union of wills. The second, to the union with my divine will. Add the victim of love. This is why we're going to make the consecration a victim tomorrow. We're going to understand little by little. And for 33 days, we're going to pray until the assumption, excuse me, until the ascension, where this vow will go to the throne of God. The second, next to the union of wills, is victim of love. Do we understand what this means? To begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. To begin to live a life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Great things are in store. Watch what God's going to do. And third, victim of immolation. To this shall add the being victim of reparation. To this victim of immolation, victim of reparation. Our job is to repair and redo in the name, not only of our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our parishioners, but the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Every person that was conceived. She must feel sorrow for everything. She must repair for me for everything. She must be compassionate to me in everything. And this shall be the fourth thing, the victim of reparation. So what is Jesus asking of us? Jesus is asking us to let him reign in us. Now, volume 11, I love volume 11 because it starts out with goodbye to Jesus. This is so great. This is, I give you a glimpse of making your 33 visits and to say good morning and goodbye to Jesus. Goodbye to Jesus. You always start with the evening. It's evening of the first day, morning of the second day, evening of the second day, morning of the third day. The evening, the vigil is part of the first day. The vigil all night, the dawn of a new day. That's the divine will. Jesus, Padre Pio said, Luisa is a second sun. As the sun goes down in the west, the new sun coming up the east is Luisa. Padre Pio said, there will be no more darkness. You see what's coming? The kingdom. Goodbye, O loving prisoner. But I have not finished yet. Before I depart, I also want to leave my body before you. Surrender, total docility, total submission. And yet, and to intend to make of my flesh and of my bones many tiny little pieces in order to form as many lamps for as many tabernacles that exist in the world. Do you see where the 33 visits are? We could go all over the world. Have you ever been to Singapore? Now you can. You've been seeing Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament in Singapore. It's with you. In every tabernacle, I intend to put my flame that united with the lamp of that tabernacle that gives you light at night. I, one with that flame, shall say, I love you, I adore you, I bless you, I pray, repair you, I thank you for me and for all mankind. This is our heartbeat. One with Jesus, one with Mary. Good morning to Jesus, volume 11. Now we're in the morning. I am certain that being unable to obtain anything by myself, with you, Jesus, I shall obtain everything. With you, Jesus, everything we do shall serve to soothe each other, each of your pains, to sweeten every bitterness of yours, Jesus, to repair for any offenses that you have gone through, my Jesus, to repair for you for everything, my Jesus, to impetrate any conversion for you, for all mankind, no matter how difficult and desperate. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. This is what Jesus is asking of us. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. This is what's so astonishing, that our God is doing this for us. Again, glory. This is glorious. This is what our God is asking. So here, this morning and evening prayer is a way to visit Jesus in the Eucharist all over the world, to visit Jesus in every tabernacle of all the world. Multiply yourself to every tabernacle. Jesus says it can be done. And you go, well, this is going to be great. How am I going to do this? Jesus says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Jesus has great plans. All that he asks is that we give our fiat. The fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother. Let it be done as you wish, as you want, as you state, as you believe. That this is what you're going to give to us, Lord. I want this. Volume 11, 3, 8, 19, 12. Everything that man does externally is nothing other than the outpouring of his interior. Do you see what this is? Everything that mankind does externally is nothing other than the outpouring of his interior. This intention, what is your intention? What do you want? What do you want to do? What is within you? He says, so if so much evil shows on the outside, what must be the interior? What must the interior be like? Therefore, redoing the interior of mankind cost me very, very much. He redid everything and everyone. It is enough to say it took me as long as 30 years. That's why Jesus says, I want you to make 33 visits to thank him for every year of his life. My thoughts, my heartbeat, my breath, my desires were always intent and running close to the thought beat, the heartbeat, the breath, the desire, the intention of man in order to repair them, satisfy them, and sanctify them. This is a divine sanctity. Jesus is doing it in us. Volume 11, 9, 29, 12. Another time I was thinking about what would be the best way to offer our actions, our prayers. So this is a question that Jesus allowed Luis to have from us. We say, well, what would be the best way to offer our actions and our prayers? Whether as reparations or as adorations. Now, that's our question given to Luisa, poor Luisa. All the questions she went through, at the end of her life, she said to Jesus, I'm sorry for all my questions. And Jesus said, Luisa, you didn't question. It was those who will read the book of heaven, they will find their answer to their questions. So I gave you humanity's questions through you, you wrote down on paper, so they can be answered. Every question you have, this is going to be very interesting. Every question you have about what God is doing in the divine will is found in the book of heaven. And it's answered by Jesus himself through Luisa. Jesus gives the answer to Luisa. We gave Luisa the question. The question goes out. Jesus answers our question. So here it is. What is better, to pray for reparation or adoration? Now listen to this. My always benign Jesus told me, my daughter, the soul who is in my divine will and does her things because I, God, want it, does not need to dispose her intentions herself. Since she is in my most holy divine will, as she operates, as the soul operates, as the soul prays, as the soul suffers, I myself dispose these things as best as please, as best as I please. Do you like reparations? I place them as reparation. Do you like love? I take them as love. Being the owner, I, God, do with them whatever I, God, want. Not for those who are not in my divine will. They are the ones who dispose and I comply with their human wants, their human will. Then Jesus says this. This is so important. I want my children to take part in the things created by me for love of them according to my divine will, not to their own. And it is only for love of these children that I am forced to feed others. Okay? So here Jesus is showing us this. Not only this, but to see these celestial children take the necessary things with sacrifice, to take everything with detachment according to my divine will. So what is our intention? To take these things as sacrifice, to take these things as detachment. That's our intentions. It's to say to Jesus, you're in charge of my life. Jesus, I trust in you. You're in charge of my life. You want things done. I want it done according to your way, according to your will. Let it be done as you wish. He says this. Sacrifice and detachment according to my divine will is for me the most beautiful reparation for all mankind. Those who use the natural things, not according to my divine will. So he's saying that as we enter into creation and accept, refuse ourselves with all the creation, all the redemption, as you begin to embrace this gift, as God wants, God will take care of it. Okay, like I said with the Holy Mass, when you go to Holy Mass, it's not just for your intentions. You know, this is the stone rejected by the builders, Golgotha. This is the cornerstone of our faith, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We say to Jesus, let it be done as you wish. I'm here to celebrate, to praise, to glorify you, to worship you, to so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what God is waiting for. See, it says, for those who use the natural things, not according to my divine will, everything's being repaired. Everything's being redone. The first thing that's happening is we're going against the natural law. We're going against the everybody oohs and ahs when they see a cat taking care of the kittens. Oohs and ahs when they see an elephant trying to help the baby elephant. We go against natural law. Jesus says, for all those who use natural things, not according to my divine will, everything's being repaired. By whom? By the souls one with Louisa, living in the divine will, striving for perfection, repairing and redoing continuously, filled with peace, filled with joy, filled with happiness. Volume 11:1-12, being very afflicted because of the privations of my adorable Jesus, I was praying, I was preparing for everyone, past, present, and future. But at the extreme of my bitterness, I turned the thought to myself. Don't do this. And I said, have mercy on me. Forgive my poor soul. Your blood, your pains, are they not mine too? Do they perhaps not count less for me? But while I was saying this, my lovable Jesus told me from within my interior, ah, my daughter, what are you doing? Thinking about yourself. Jesus says, stop it. You know, a lot of the tears that I hear people crying, it's about themselves. Oh, I got to go through this and they don't like me. And they, Jesus says, what are you doing? You know, I'm giving you the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. What are you doing? He says, stop thinking about yourself. Stop the self-pity. I mean, see, most tears are for themselves. Most tears, I remember when my grandmother died, my grandfather said, who's going to take care of me? I'm going, your wife just died and you're complaining about yourself. What's wrong with you? I mean, it's to adore God and to praise God and to love God and to glorify. That's where happiness comes. Happiness comes from holiness. The three things that God promised Abraham, to be freed from the enemy. When Jesus died on the cross, we were freed from Satan. Free to worship God without fear. We receive the host. That's God Almighty. None of us are terrified. And the third promised Abraham, this is what we pray every day when we pray the canticle of Zechariah. To be free to free to worship God without fear. To be holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. Who is holy? God. Who is righteous? God. We participate in this divinity that God wants us to participate in. This is great. So he says, what are you doing? Stop thinking about yourself. You are now going down, reducing yourself from owner of the divine will. He says, to a miserable condition of one who asks, please, 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 please. Jesus says, ask. Believe that you have received it and it is yours. That's what the command prayer is all about. Ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. Do we pray like that? I don't have to see the result. I know God is going to answer any prayer because you trust in him, believe in him, hope in him, have confidence in him and him alone. Poor daughter, my thinking of yourself, you impoverish yourself. Stop it. Because my divine will, you are the owner and you can take anything you want on your own. Why? I trust in him. Ask, believe that you received it and it is yours. Ah, but don't ask for a washing machine. I remember somebody says, I'm praying for a washing machine. And the priest said, you don't. God's not going to answer your prayer for a washing machine. Come on. I'm going like, wait a minute. There's a list. Okay. Number one, no washing machines. You can't pray for a what? God is in charge. God is in charge. And see, you are the owner. You can take anything you want on your own. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, you're very far from giving God giving you this gift of the divine will. Impossible things are yours. Why? God is the God of impossibility. Don't limit God. I'm going to pray for all this, but I'm not going to pray for this because I know God doesn't want. Ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. I mean, miracles are happening all over the place for those who believe. Is there anything to do? If there is anything to do in my divine will, it is to pray and repair for others. Stop worrying about anything. Your job is to pray and repair for others. Know God with your whole mind. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and help your neighbor get to heaven. Repair, redo. That's what Jesus is saying. That's why souls are so important to him. That's what he has done. That's what Our Lady has done. This is why they cry tears of blood. Because we're not following their example to pray, to adore God, love God, praise God, thank God, glorify God, and to pray to repair and redo. Volume 11, 12, 14, 19, 12. The soul who is in my divine will embraces everything. The soul of my divine will prays and repairs for all and takes within herself alone the love I, God, have for all mankind. You see what God is calling us to? Not about holy, saintly humanity. It's sharing in divinity. Takes within herself alone the love that I have for all mankind, the love I have for everyone, past, present, and future. If the soul encloses in just herself, for as much as I love her, she's equally dear to me and beautiful, she leaves everyone behind. What does that mean? You embrace everyone as Jesus did. Why? You're going to embrace him and his mother. You're going to enter into the kingdom of God on earth the way the saints possess God in heaven. That's what's coming. That's why it's a time of sanctification that's coming. This is a time of glory that's coming. This is so amazing what our God is doing. He's asking us, he's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. How magnificent is this? And all that he asks, are you willing to surrender your human will? Are you willing to give to me your human will as Our Lady did and put it on the stool of God so God can put his feet on top of it, that God can take care of us? He becomes the Lord of our life. And then in exchange, we receive his divine will. But if we're doing it our way, I did it my way, it's going to be a tough life. It's going to be a rough life. It's going to be a terrible life. Why? Because we're away from the reason God created Adam. And since Adam fell, we've been in this miserable condition for 6,000 years. 2,000 years ago, Jesus redeemed us. Our Lady co-redeemed with him. Now, Jesus says, is the beginning of a new era. I've given to Louisa how and why the kingdom is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. If you haven't listened to The Dawn of a Mystery, if you haven't listened to Archbishop Echeri, tell us who she is. We haven't even begun to understand why God has called us to be living at this time. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. And he says, I want you to share in my divinity, which the priest does every day when he puts a drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Great things are in store. Amazing things are in store. This is a great time to be alive. We'll be back in an hour and 15 minutes. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.